Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
They want to be down with the kids.
Live from Cobos Q in Edo for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Now here's the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance live at Cobos Q.
Vamos.
Let's go. Get on out here to Cobos Q. It's the official grand opening of the restaurant slash bar, and it is awesome. If you haven't been here before an Astros game, well, come on out. This is your chance. If you work downtown, stop here before you go. Have how do you say it?
Birria. It's actually birria taco.
Yeah.
Are you going to roll the R's?
I always do.
Birria. But most people in Texas say birria.
I know, but that's wrong. But they also say
Framber. We're not in.
They also say Framber.
Some do.
Yeah.
They also used to say Roy Oswalt.
That's not right.
They also used to say Akeem, and instead of Hakeem. But he also, that was on Akeem for
Jose Lima.
Changes.
They used to say that.
I don't recall that.
But it happens sometimes.
Birria.
So we are here live, and it is. Look at the big Cobos he put on the windows. He just loves himself, doesn't he? He just loves himself.
Well, it is a distinction of what the restaurant is. There's not a sign.
Well, you're right. It says Cobos.
So it also functions as a sign for his restaurant.
Right.
More than him just loving himself. That is the name of his restaurant.
It's the name of the restaurant.
It's his name, yes. But
he's Raul Cobo?
Well, no. But it's a variation of his name. I'm not going to put his whole
Why can't you put his name out there?
No, I don't know, because he...
But he doesn't want people to know his
name? It's not Cobos, but it's kind of Cobos.
It's kind of Cobos?
That's his nickname, I think, probably when
okay.
he was young.
When he was a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was Grotto.
By the way, first 10 people who come are getting an Edo Cobos hat. The first 10 to come in and say hello.
And
we've got that the EAD hat.
Right.
But it's also got the flame for the O, so it's really Edo, but it looks like EAD. Yeah, and the really cool hats. He's always done a good job of putting together good quality hats. So first 10 to come in today, if they want, are going. Now you have to ask for them. They're not just passing them out at the door. This isn't a celebrity duck, or a commemorative towel thing. You have to ask for it, and you'll get it. He also said, the first 10 people that come through and ask for a Coors Light today.
Yeah, how about
he's
that?
He's going to give him a Coors Light.
Yeah, Coors Light for the first 10 that walk in the door, which is much better than that.
He's not going to do Maestro Dobel because that's going to be a little more expensive.
Well, so that's fine. Maestro Dobel, step up. Let's go. Coors Light stepped up and sold him Coors Lights. Let's go.
They stepped up and sold them to him?
That's right. They absolutely
did. A hell of a deal.
So a very slow night in Houston sports, although Bob Nightingale says – the market for Starling Marte is really heating up.
Yeah, I saw that, and I didn't like it.
I like it. I think it makes perfect sense.
What does?
So again,
the market's hot?
You replace instead of replacing shortstop in the order, you replace center field in the order. Now, center field isn't the 8-hole. Shortstop's the 8-hole.
Right.
So if you want to bring up, if you think Jeremy Peña is about ready – and you think he can play shortstop at the major league level, and you got to go through his growing pains. And who knows? He may step up the kind of year he had last year at Sugar Land. You don't know that he won't play pretty damn well. And if you get a lot more production out of that 8-hole, and you get Starling Marte's, and the thought is that Starling Marte is going to be pretty damn good for at least a couple more years. You could probably get him for $360. Or in that neighborhood?
Well, John Heyman from MLB Network confirmed interest in Marte, reporting that the market for the free agent is, quote-unquote, very hot, and that he could have a multi-year deal locked up by the end of the month. Heyman lists Rangers, Yankees, Mets, Phillies, Marlins, as well as many others, competing with the Astros for Marte's service. The market for the 33-year-old Marte is exploding because he's one of the only valuable center fielders available. I would just tell you this. I'll just go on the record as saying this. I've seen this so many times. You are paying, teams are going to pay for a season that could be a little bit of an outlier. This is one of the best seasons of his career. He's 33 years old. Teams paid like that for, they paid like that. Now, there was a reason for this, but they paid like that for your boy Marwin Gonzalez, and then the Twins, you know,
well, right,
that were done in. But Marte, he's a good signing for 2 years, but you start talking about ultra-aggressive. I would assume the most ultra-aggressive you can get is a three-year deal for any team. It's stupid to go beyond age 50, I mean, beyond age 36 for Marte. He's 33 right now. I haven't checked the birthday or anything in terms of when he turns 34, but I can't see a team going more than 3 years. Ultra-aggressive's got to be his per year.
I think that they're talking 480.
You're out. Move on to the next guy, Astros. That's not a good move. That's not an Astros move at all.
No,
that's stupid.
No, not well. Let's not forget. You know, they signed Yuli at 33
you give
for five.
Marte twice.
They
the
signed
deal
Yuli
that you
at
give,
32 for 5 years.
You give Marte twice. Yeah, look at the dollars too. Nothing like
no
you're
half,
talking about that.
Half
exactly. And they gave half the length of time to Michael Brantley two different times. He had to earn it after the first one. So, I mean, Michael Brantley, was on a 2 year deal. I don't know. How do you give Marte a 4 year deal?
Right. Well, you're not up against a bunch of slappies, though, either.
You mean in terms of who you're.
The Phillies are up on the up and coming. The Yankees are the Yankees. The Giants are a great team.
Mets are going to spend.
Mets will spend. And
Marlins.
You don't know. Marlins. Well, the Marlins, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Marlins are listed in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
He played for Miami previously, so maybe that has something
that's,
to do
that's
with it.
Why. I mean, they want him back. I get it. So here's the deal I like the thought of the move. I like the thought of the move. Because if you think that you can go long term with Pena, you gotta weather this first or second year.
Right.
You filled in the lineup is still 1 through 7. If Marte's in there instead of Carlos Correa, you did a nice job of filling in and still one of the most formidable, if not still the most formidable, offense in baseball.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to change. You could either go after a more expensive shortstop or a more expensive center fielder. Although, you know, we do know that James Click publicly talked about shortstop, but maybe privately was pursuing Marte as a guy that can help the Astros. You're going to probably start platooning for Michael Brantley because he's just not the same guy versus left-hander. So I think you're going to see more and more he will have to end up in a platoon situation. And if that's the case, you can work some time in at center field and right field for the other outfielder. So you'll have two outfielders. My guess is it'll be McCormick and Myers, if Myers comes back fully healthy. I don't know what happens with Siri. Siri's a little bit older. Like, he's, what, 26? He's older than you think he is.
Yeah.
Being an upstart guy who came out of the minor leagues, like, he's actually an older player.
Do you trust, you know, if it's a McCormick, Siri, Myers battle, do you trust those guys to be actually, I don't even want to put numbers on it, but to be above average offensively, I don't trust it.
As backups?
No. As starters.
Oh, you mean if you went with
well, those.
Like if you went with all the well, you don't have to go with all.
Well,
those
no,
guys.
No, no, no. But whoever wins the job, whatever.
At center field? Yeah, I trust them to be young.
Above average?
I saw it. I think what average is you're talking about it's for the player, right? So average for a second-year player?
No, average for the league. Above average.
I actually think they could be. We've got ridiculous standards because of the bats that we've had. So you're talking – make sure we're talking about for the league and not for the Astros.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true.
Because for the league, I think they would
well, be. Yeah, you're still – yeah. I mean, if you're above average for the league, then you're pretty good.
I think the one thing that is – I don't think it's a concern. I do think about it. None of those guys were heralded coming up. Like, it's not like these were guys who've been headed up the organization's ladder. Myers kind of came out of nowhere. McCormick was out of nowhere. And Siri was out of nowhere. Siri was a different team's prospect. So they've all kind of come out of nowhere. So
three or four different teams.
You don't know. Exactly. So you don't know that there's a lot of staying power. I think that becomes a question is, do they have the staying power? And my guess is that one of them will. One of them will have the staying power. To what extent? I don't know. I think Myers has your best shot based on the way that he approaches his at-bats. McCormick's just such a free swinger that I really have a question about how he fits into the Astros, how he fits into their vibe in terms of their approach at the plate. He does not have the same approach, although he had an amazing at-bat in the postseason.
Yeah.
Where he did work the count, and he fouled off a lot of pitches and ended up getting on base. So, I guess that's worth noting. And he was just a rookie this year, so it's not like he can't get better. He can get better.
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely can get better.
I've seen worse situations. I've seen a lot less talented backups for the Astros, and so have you.
Where
the three that we're talking about are dog turds.
I don't mind, though, and again,
these guys can play.
Back to the philosophy of Jeremy Peña, I don't mind that philosophy. Go get in. If it's not Starling Marte, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Go get a center fielder that you know will fit into this lineup that still 1-7, and then you can fade 8 and 9,
yeah,
for the rest of the season. They signed Maldonado to a 1-year deal, so he's going to be back. And you got Jeremy Peña in the 8 hole, and who knows? Dude gets hot. You can never tell. You can never tell because he had a hell of a year last year. It was a breakout year for him, as a matter of fact, at AAA. So we'll see whether or not he can keep that up at the major league level. All right, we're just getting started. We're live at Cobos Q. You are welcome to come on out. It is going to be a great day. We're here all the way through 3 o'clock, and then you got the University of Houston game tonight, which is going to be awesome. And we want everybody out there. We're red here today and support your Cougs. And then you can take the train right from here, right to the stadium. And by the way, Cobos is open past 3 o'clock. So you can do your pregame here, drive out, take the train over to the game, have yourself a big time tonight, and then get dropped off back here at the train, with the train. So if you're looking for a great time, come on out. Hang out with us today. Cobos Q, 2012 Rusk. 2012 Rusk.
As part of your great day today, you might want to end it with a nightcap, and that could end up being your Maestro Dobel. It might be your pregame. It might be in-game. If you're at your own home just or at a nice sports bar or wherever you might be watching your games or just hanging out by yourself and enjoying yourself, Maestro Dobel is one of the finest tequilas you're going to find on the market, completely accessible, great in different types of cocktails. If you love a different type of tequila cocktail, besides just margaritas, but it makes a great margarita. But how about you try out the Diamante? This is a Cristalino, and the Cristalino is a Reposado, an Añejo, and an Añejo Extra. They're charcoal filtered, and it's got a very clean look, finish. It's absolutely delicious, and it's a tequila that is going to really stand up against anything else and, in fact, outperform. So I think if you are someone who really loves tequila and you are an aficionado, they've got a varietal that is absolutely for you. That's 11 generations of tequila makers, and they know what they're doing. And I promise you, this is going to be one of the finest tequilas you've ever experienced. For sipping, for cocktails, make your move to Maestro Dobel.
G'day mates, this is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats!
Boy, were you smart if you had them Patriots last night. Patriots under. You knew what you was doing, baby. Forget that home dog, all right? That Thursday night home dog. That didn't work out. The Falcons sucked. But you did it at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. That's where you get all your bets in. You got NFL, NBA, college football, basketball, blackjack, NHL, soccer, MMA, boxing, golf, tennis, politics. It's unbelievable. You want esports, volleyball, table tennis, special wrestling, rugby. Who bets on rugby? You can bet on rugby right now at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. You got your Texans plus 10 this week. Go ahead. Go ahead, see how that works out for you. But here's the deal. All I need you to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Doesn't matter if you've ever been on before, been there, you're there now. If you deposit up to $1,000, they will match right now at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. You want to bet, win, and get paid? Mybookie.ag.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cobos Q and Edo. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm here.
Listen to this. John is just unbelievable. All right. He gets kicked out of a remote.
Well, listen, I want things how I want them.
That man's paying to have us here.
Raul, do what I say.
You're over here telling him, like, give me a fry, give me a...
Yeah. That's right.
You got a reputation with him, bro. You can't. You got to watch it.
He just does. Hey, just.
Bro, he's got a reputation.
Okay.
He's got a bad reputation.
Here's the deal. Just do what I say. That's all. That's all. And we'll be fine. Me and you will be fine.
What are you, a mafia boss?
That's right. Just do what I say. Run, and me and you will be fine.
You run trash companies? What is this?
So, and you agree with this?
Probably not.
David Sampson says that the Astros overpaid for Justin Verlander.
I mean, yeah, they did.
Well,
but that's a given. You're going to pay too much.
Really?
Like, you paid too much for your little white tennis shoes you had on yesterday.
Yeah.
You knew that going into your Las Vegas boutique.
But I liked them, so I kept them.
My wife liked them.
Obviously,
Jim Crane likes Justin Verlander.
So wait a minute. But really?
Coming off an arm surgery, hasn't pitched for 2 years. Yeah, $50 million.
But what
guaranteed.
Was the market, though?
I don't know because he wasn't out there very long.
Oh, I'll bet you the Yankees would have paid that right now.
I mean, I guess. Then how was that the market? If the Yankees would have paid that, they wouldn't have paid
$2 million more? Well, maybe they would have, but maybe, again, Justin Verlander, the word out was he did actually feel a little bad about taking $66
maybe
million.
Maybe so. I think we got to keep this in mind. Justin Verlander, that player option is kind of – that's a give back that the Astros are giving him that really
that's the thing.
Benefits him.
Oh, yeah. Well, and yeah. No. It actually does because if he pitches like crap, I get another $25 million.
Yeah.
If he pitches really well,
he gets to
I
the
can
market
get out of
if
here.
He wants.
Right.
His brother already told you he wants to pitch until he's 45.
Yeah.
So that makes you – what you did was you basically – not only did you give him $25 million a year – you guaranteed it for 50. It's a minimum of 50, and could end up being much higher than that, because he could opt out, and then you're on the hook again for trying to do the deal once again.
I mean the whole thing is really, I guess it is, but I was thinking that's about the neighborhood for Verlander.
I thought it was between 22 and 25.
Yeah,
and he's high end of what I
now
thought
what I thought was, it was going to be he was going to demand three or four.
I thought it would take a minimum of three. I was surprised to see two, but it's not two. That's not what I'm saying. It's actually one.
Yeah,
it's one. And if things don't go well, I get another year. And if things go well, I'm back to the market. Don't for 1 second think he won't opt out of that into a 3 year deal. If next year, if he's good this year, it'll turn into 3 for $90.
So just a couple of years ago, we were introduced to the opener by Tampa Bay, right?
Right.
The opener. And
opener meaning?
A bullpen game.
Or sometimes your starter just is in inning number two. Can be that or even inning number
theirs
two.
Theirs is usually just a bullpen game.
Yeah. I like the idea of a starter coming in that robs him of, well, it doesn't necessarily rob him of wins, but.
No, because he'll get, if he goes four and they're winning, he'll still get the win.
Right.
Right. The guy who started won't get the win because he didn't go five. But you know what's coming? You know what's coming this year, possibly, with the Houston Astros?
What?
The six-man rotation. That is not only just going to be...
You think?
Yeah.
Full-time?
Well, here's the deal. You want to cut down on Verlander innings, right? That's a good way to do it. You plus more rest in between. Plus, you got to get Odorizzi into the rotation. I could certainly see McCullers. You worry about that arm at the end of the year. Look what happened this year. You worry about that. Fromber, I don't think you worry about. Urquidy has had his problems. Garcia is still a young pitcher who you tried to limit his innings this year. Odorizzi, you want to get him in because you paid him, and he's going to complain if he's not in the rotation. He's going to be a pain in the ass in that locker
That's
room.
True.
He is. So here's the deal is how about a six-man rotation?
I mean, you could do it from time to time. Yeah.
No, always, I mean the whole year.
Nah, I wouldn't do it the whole year. I think you end up putting people into positions where you have to if you did it for the whole year, you have to skip certain times when you want, because you want to keep guys on their schedule. You don't want your whole roster, you don't want your whole rotation being off their rest.
It's not. No, it is. That's the rest. That's it.
Well, then why do you get your rest on 5-day rotation when you have additional
rest?
Well,
Lance, don't forget there used to be a 4-man rotation, and then there was a 5-man rotation.
I know.
And now what I'm saying is, guess what? Just like there used to be guys that threw 9 innings all the time, then now there's not anymore. Now there used to be 4-man rotation. Now there's not anymore. There used to be now 5 rotation. Guess what? I wouldn't be surprised at all if the new thing is we're going to save these arms, because in a 5-man rotation, we're seeing Justin Verlander go down. We're seeing Lance McCullers go down. We're seeing guys tire out at the end of the year.
Yeah, but I think the big difference, how are they tired out? How are they so tired when they're pitching less innings than ever before? Fewer games and less innings. How are they tired out? I need somebody to explain to me how pitchers who used to work on tractors between their starts in a doubleheader, they had a 10 a.m. start and a 7 p.m. start, then a tractor run. Where
are
they
you get off my lawn guy right now?
No, I'm seriously questioning I don't think everyone's all worn out. I think what it is it has less to do with their – here's what it is. It really is less about their work in the majors. I think it's a lot more about what happened to them in youth baseball, travel baseball, AAU. Because it's not that they get tired and fatigued. There's a concern about arm health. That's really what the concern is, because so many pitchers go to Tommy John or end up having tightness in the arm.
No, but this is a little bit different, though. When you get to the postseason, man, after a long season, man, Justin Verlander, when he threw 300 innings and 300 strikeouts or 200 innings and 300 strikeouts, he was worn out. You know what he's got? How many World Series wins he has? Zero. Because by the time he gets to the World Series, through the division, through the championship series, now you get into the World Series, you are wasted after a full season. Maybe I'm just saying, I would not say that this is maybe not the next step in Major League Baseball.
I would be shocked, because you're pitching worse pitchers. You're getting less of your best players and more of your worst players. That's just not a good, like, what you're saying is basically you're trying to equate it to nickel packages being the base package now,
yeah,
which you do it out of necessity as a defensive posture. But the reason that a lot of NFL teams started going to 4 wideouts is because they got your worst players. They got backup cornerbacks on the field more, and it made it easier to have. I think the same thing can be said for pitching. The more you have bad pitchers on, unless you have the good pitchers, God, that
well, the Astros don't have that problem, though, actually. The Astros don't have that problem.
Well, I'd say at times we would have definitely said that is a problem last year at times, for
not
sure.
Not this year, though.
No.
Not
this
with
year
Verlander.
We would have, too.
Well, Odorizzi, but here's the deal.
Odorizzi and Stinky, I didn't like either one of them being out there too much.
Well, here's the deal, though, is Odorizzi is a starter in the league, and Odorizzi seems to be the odd man out here. And I'm not sure that it'll be interesting to see how they go about that. It'll be really, really interesting to see how they go about that with Odorizzi and what they're going to do with him. Because I can tell you this, he's going to be bitching behind the scenes. It's what he does. Let's get Chris in here before we get Greg Cosell on. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you guys? Love the show.
Good.
John, it sounds like you got some throat issues going on today, man. I'm feeling for you. Allergies, I guess, or too many Coors Lights. Hey, so Odorizzi, like, let him bitch.
Could be both.
I agree with Lance 1,000%. There's no chance Jane Click says, because Odorizzi's crying a little bit, we're going to go to 6-man rotation. Like, analytics says that's not a smart idea to do that. About Starling Marte, like, I don't think that's a smart deal when it comes to analytics either with Jane Click. And then the last thing I'll say is the youth baseball thing. I got two boys in youth baseball. It's 1,000% something that I do agree with Lance that kids, I mean, we were growing up, like, I'm 41. He played, like, at Northwest 45 a couple of months, and then he played basketball, and then he played football, and then he played baseball. Nowadays, these boys play year-round. And you look at Verlander in college, if you go back when he was in college, I mean, he's pitching hundreds. And I mean, there was games where he would throw 120, 130 pitches in a game. So I do agree with Lance that these arms are getting really, really, really worn out. And then I just want to say, Lance, I know you're a super big football guy. Man, I hated on Bill Belichick for the past couple of years, but what he's doing in New England right now, kind of reinventing himself with that defense. I mean, I know he's always been a defensive guy. He's just doing some crazy, crazy awesome things, guys. So anyway, love your show. Hang out with us and thanks, guys.
I can say that was one of the best calls we've ever had.
That was,
in years of sports talk, one of the finest callers, one of the smartest guys, one of the best callers.
That was the dumbest call I've ever heard.
Just to work backwards on Bill Belichick, because Greg Cosell is going to join us here in just a matter of minutes. We'll leave it for him, but I would say I agree. I think he's doing, man, that looks like every week that passes, I'm taking the Patriots more and more seriously.
Yeah.
The defense is.
Here's the thing.
That was a dirty offense for Atlanta.
And listen, they're a player. They look like a playoff team. I worry about Mac Jones in the playoffs, though. We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but they don't ask because they can run the football. It reminds me of some early Tom Brady offenses that I used to watch because Tom wasn't always the Tom Brady that people remember. It didn't really happen until 2007 with Randy Moss. Like, this is actually, if you go back and look at the first six years of his career, he wasn't this wide-open passing quarterback. Yep. He was more like Mac Jones. As far as the other stuff's concerned, I also agree. Some of this stuff doesn't strike me as a James Click move. That's what's
James Click is the guy that's looking at Starling Marte. So to say, I don't think that's a
but
James
4
Click,
years.
But James Click, no. Yeah,
if you say he's a 4-year, $80 million, that's not a James Click move.
We'll see. All right, time to tell you right now about Damaris Barbecue. We're over at Cobo's Q right now. What about my boy Yanni? Give him some love, brother. Okay, he's on 610. It's over across town. If you're on that side, that's what we got. We got the Damaris Barbecue. Oh, we also got them on Shepherd right there, just north of West Alabama. And here's what else we got: we got turkeys. People, I've had it for years now. The fried turkey over at Damaris Barbecue is awesome, but you can get a roasted as well if you're not a big fried turkey fan. Whatever you're looking for, they do it three different ways. I forget what the other way is, but I'm telling you, if you're looking for a great, great, great turkey that they're going to make you can pick up on Thanksgiving morning. So that's a key, too. It's not like you got to get it the day before, then you got to refrigerate it, you got to do all these things. You can get it that morning. So if you're looking for a great turkey, they've been doing this for years, and they do a great job. Give them the bird, is what they say, with the turkey at Damaris Barbecue. And then you want to go watch your games, you want to eat your barbecue, you got it. It's on 610, right there at 18th Street, where 290 meets 610. 18th Street, and it's also on Shepherd at North Alabama, at West Alabama. You're looking for a great barbecue and that great, great turkey. It's the Damaris Barbecue.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports.
Hey, here we go. Lance Erline here for Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Purchase allowances right now at $2,550 on the GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab. This is a great opportunity for you to get a great truck. And, you know, a lot of times when they have these deals, it's on select models. This is on their entire stock of those vehicles. So this is one where it's kind of a special deal in this particular program they're offering, and you can take advantage of it. But, you know, if maybe you're not a truck guy and you want SUVs, why don't you go to LanceZCars.com, and they're at the top of the page, and you'll see it's a rotating banner. You can see the variety of different offers that they have for you and the different specials and the different programs they have. And on top of that, when you stop in there down at Angleton or when you start the car buying experience at LanceZCars.com, just ask them, what are the different programs you have? And they'll find out, what do you want to lease? Do you want to purchase? You're going to get great trade-in value on your vehicle, and you are going to get the best sales experience and, in the future, any service experience. No one beats Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They're in Angleton, and they are waiting for you to step in. Chevy, find new roads.
Time to talk some NFL with NFL Film Zone Greg Cosell on the bench. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back. Live at Cobos Q. We're up until 3 o'clock, so get on over here. 2012 Rusk will be hanging out here most of the day. And then you got your Cougs tonight at 8 o'clock. over at TDECU Stadium. Nice little jaunt on the train. So come on over here to Cobos Q and get your pregame on. Joining us right now, Greg Cosell, man who watches a lot of football. Hope you watch that. Hope you watch that University of Houston Memphis game tonight, Greg. It's gonna be a good one. And I don't know. Do you take Fridays off from watching football, or what do you do?
Sometimes depending on the Friday night game, I'll check it out a little bit. But I don't watch it. I won't be watching it from beginning to end.
How much college do you watch right now? I mean, I know eventually you do when you start doing your draft stuff.
Saturdays. I watch a lot of college football on Saturday. Normally, I'm out and about, and yeah, I usually watch. Come in the office and watch NFL tape on Saturdays as well. But I usually get home around 3, so I don't see the early games, you know. But I pick it up, you know, for the 3:30 games. I'm talking Eastern time, of course, the 3:30 games, and then you know into the evening. So yeah, I've been watching a lot of college football.
Greg Cosell with us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 Senior. Producer over at NFL Films. Let's talk about Bill Belichick and what they're doing right now, Greg. This is a different look. Now, they picked up a lot of guys in the offseason. That's why they spent a lot of money this offseason. But it certainly looks a lot different than it did last year, doesn't it?
You know, it's funny. The one thing I think that's being overlooked with all the emphasis on Mac Jones, and Mac Jones is playing efficiently. He's doing what they asked him to do. I think they're mapping it out really cleanly for him. The ball comes out. Just to give you one quick example, they started the second possession last night, and he hit Smith for 17 yards. That, to me, was a perfect representation of what Jones is at this point in the process, because that was a called shot play, and they ran what a lot of people run, a post-cross combination, and that takes a little time, and Myers would be wide open on the crosser. But Jones saw Smith immediately open in the flat. So he was not going to wait for the crosser by Myers, even though it was a called shot play. He sees Smith wide open in the flat. He's just getting the ball to him. He had room to run, and it's 17 yards, and you move the chains, and you keep playing football. That's what Mac Jones is. My guess is they're totally comfortable with that. They don't want him to sit in the pocket and wait at this point. But the larger point I'm going to make, which I think is being overlooked, they're a really physical team. Their run game is very physical. Their run game has become one of the most multiple in the NFL in use of personnel, formation, schemes. It's both schematic and physical. And their defense is physical. So all the attention, deservedly so, on Mac Jones, to me, has kind of taken away from the fact that this is really a physical football team on both sides of the ball.
So I've done studies in the past on New England. This is over the years, and Greg, you're already going to know this. But it is amazing how often, even with great Tom Brady, not the Tom Brady that we saw up until 2007, which was a little bit more game manager, until the Tom Brady that everyone knows, even after that, the Patriots, you could look, every other year they'd be in a top three running a football. Like in one given year, they might throw it a lot. In the next given year, they're way up there from a running standpoint. Bill Belichick, yep, during his long career, Greg, has always emphasized the running game, to different extents at different times. But this is back to one of his we're going to pound the rock. And Bolden, Ramondre Stevenson, and Damian Williams, this is one of the few times that I remember three running backs, even though they're varied in their skill sets to an extent, they're much more similar in terms of their physical running style than anything I've seen. I haven't seen him have three physical running backs like this. They're usually more matchup backs out of the backfield that he likes to play with.
Yeah, and obviously with James White out for the season, Bolden has really evolved now into the third down back. But Stevenson and Harris, I mean, Harris was back last night. I always liked him coming out of Alabama. I thought he'd be a really good pro back. I think he's got a pretty high-level skill set, and he's a big kid.
Yeah.
But they're going to run the ball. I mean, that's the way they want to play. I think the O-line, you could see, look, you know Lance better than I. O-lines love it when you line up and run the ball. And they are a physical group. They get after it pretty good. They played some 6 O-line snaps last night. They've been doing that throughout the season. Not as much as some other teams, but they'll do it. And like I said, I think that's one of the things that people are not talking about, but the tape tells you that. The tape tells you that this is a physical football team, but it's also, obviously on both sides, very schematic. We know on defense as well, they're physical, but they can also do some some things that confuse and cause hesitation in quarterbacks. So it's a really good mix, and in some ways it's old school. With all the focus on Mac Jones, I think we're losing sight that this is kind of an old school team right now.
It looks old school.
Oh, it does. No, defense, and hey, he threw for 207 yards. And this is Bart Starr-ish, okay, what he's doing, what they're doing right now. Greg, what do you make of, though, you know, their wins? Now, the next 4 weeks for them, they got the Titans at the Bills, at the Colts, and the Bills. I think we'll find out, really, if they're an upper echelon team over this next month.
Well, I guess we'll find out if this style of play, unless Belichick changes, and that's the thing we don't know because he's so game-specific and opponent-specific, we'll find out if he continues to play this way or if he feels he has to make some adjustments based on the opponent.
How different is it than what the Titans are doing? I mean, I understand it's not necessarily Derrick Henry, but isn't it the same basic idea of we're going to run the football, play off of the run, and then play good defense? I mean, look, only recently have the Titans become a better defensive team, and Jeffrey Simmons has been a big part of that. But it feels like it's a similar concept between those two organizations.
Lance, I don't know what you're doing here. I keep being told by everybody that in today's NFL, all you have to do is throw it all, you know, all around
yeah,
the yard,
I know.
And that's all that matters. And no other position matters but quarterback, you know.
But it's interesting that there's
a lot of teams that are sort of somewhat old school, and you're right about the Titans. In fact, in the last two games without Derrick Henry, they've not run the ball particularly well. They've not really had any explosive plays in the pass game. I've been talking about for well over a month how well their front four has played. It's been the most dominant front four in the NFL over the last month, 5 weeks. Their defense is built on their front four. They don't blitz very much. They play a mix of man and zone on the back end, depending what personnel they have there, nickel or dime. But the Titans are now being led by their front four. That's been the dominant feature of their team, and that's old-school stuff as well. So we'll see, because at some point, look, I think we would all agree that at some point you are going to have to throw the ball with some kind of efficiency and create some kind of explosion plays. But right now, the Titans are not doing that, and yet they're winning. We'll see what happens when they get to play. Well, they play really good people, and they've done this. But they're going to play New England. And then, quite frankly, Tennessee's schedule is not what you'd call hard.
No, and they got – look at Tennessee's got Houston this week. And I don't know if you look at this at all, Greg, but they're just 10-point favorites at home. I don't want you to break it down gambling wise, but in your eyes, aren't the Titans a much better team than if they were in a new, that what they're saying on a neutral field? The Titans are just a 7-point favorite over the Houston Texans. That seems odd, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't follow that stuff, and I don't even know what that means. So, I mean, obviously, Houston, as you guys know, is not a very good football team. So they don't have much talent. Defensively, they're not very good at all. Who knows? I mean, look, the one thing from doing this for years, and I can tell you that if a team has a few issues, and the Titans clearly have some issues offensively right now, those issues can crop up in any given game, okay? So it's easy to look at this and just assume this is going to be a 35-10 game, just the way people thought Buffalo would beat Jacksonville 35-10. But Buffalo has O-line issues and pass protection, and they don't have a viable run game. And we can talk about Buffalo in a sec because they changed their entire approach this past week. But whenever a team has some weaknesses or flaws, they can crop up any given week. And again, I'm not sitting here saying Houston's going to upset them. None of us know how the game's going to play out. But we'll see. I mean, right now, Tennessee has some things I guarantee their coaches are working on because they're not doing it very well.
I do want to mention just quickly to point out, Greg said Houston does not have a very good defense. But I think it's also worth noting that they don't have a very good offense.
That's right. No. I wouldn't
make sure.
Just limit. Or special teams.
Yeah. I want to paint the entire picture.
Are you suggesting, Lance, they don't have a very good team?
Yes.
Sum of its parts are also worse than maybe just the parts.
Right. I'm suggesting, Greg, man, with all your football knowledge, you and I, we could make a lot of money. Let's talk after the show.
Okay. I'm not allowed to do any of that stuff, John. So
I
work for the NFL, so, you know.
Damn it.
I'm thinking my entire life I've ever bet on a sporting event. So that's just something that doesn't interest me in the least.
Really? You and I are a lot different in that way, Greg.
So it's not the only way y'all are different. Greg's an upstanding person. You, not so much.
Not so much. Hey, I want to talk about this Cowboys-Chiefs game when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5. Greg Cosell, senior producer, NFL Films, and NFL analyst with us here every week. Right now, though, we are talking about hoops. Let's talk basketball. All right? I know it's hard to watch basketball here in the city, the professional team anyway. What about, you know, the college team? Maybe that's getting you excited. U of H, a top 15 team in the country. What about your kids wanting to play basketball? What about that goal in the yard? What about that goal in the backyard so that your kids can actually go outside, play? You know where they are. Everybody loves it. The kids in the neighborhood will be there because you can lower the goal and you can actually dunk. Okay, the kids love to dunk, Dad. They want to dunk. So let's get the goal where you can lower it. It's beautiful. Mom will love it because it's the best goal in the market, period. Tempered glass backboard, unrustable stanchion. It's not that goal that, you know, it's crooked, there's no net, the white backboard needs painting, all of that stuff. None of that. Not with this goal. Not with the best goal in the darn market, best goal ever. It's ProDunkHoops.com. You want the best goal? ProDunkHoops.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cobos Q in Edo. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back, live from Cobos Q, 2012 Rusk. Want you to come on by and hang out with us. Look, all the peeps are here. They're showing up. Brother, what's going on? What's up, Irv? So here we go. It is time for Greg Cosell to talk about this Cowboys game. We got a Cowboy guy right here, as a matter of fact. Dustin, he looks like Carson Wentz, a baby Carson Wentz.
An unathletic
Carson Wentz.
Right.
Okay. So, Greg, let's talk a little bit about this Cowboys-Chiefs game, how they match up. The Chiefs look like they're back again, and the Cowboys just running through after that hiccup that they had against Denver. They looked great again last week, although it was the Falcons. So you got to take that with a grain of salt. But how you see this one go? What are the key matchups for this one, Greg?
Well, you know, I thought last week that Mahomes played his best game in quite a while, and I think there's a reason for that. He was playing much better within the structure, the order, the purpose of the progressions. The ball was coming out of his hand. He took the throws that were there. You know, you saw clearly that he cut out almost all the unnecessary movement, both inside and outside the pocket, that had really defined his play far too much over the last month or so. He took the throws that the offense gave him versus the defense. He did not hold on to the ball. He ran the offense. We're so used to seeing him make all these second reaction improvisational plays that we forget that there's not a given to those. Those are maybe yes, maybe no plays. So I thought he played much better. So the question is, how does Dallas defend that? Dallas has played as much or more man coverage than any team in the NFL this year. But Dan Quinn is not beholden to just doing one thing. He has a wide background of playing different things. I think I'd be surprised if he played as much man coverage as he's been playing, because I don't think they have a matchup for Tyreek Hill in this game. And again, that doesn't mean they won't play any man. Of course they will. But I don't know if he'll play the same percentage of man that we've seen throughout the course of this season.
This is, you know, I find this to be a very interesting matchup because Kansas City has one good game, like literally almost the whole season. They have one good game. It's last week. And I think so many people want to just jump on and say, okay, they're back. They're back to being who they are.
Yeah.
But their flaws are fundamental. Their flaws are not just, we're not just a single position issue. They don't have an offensive line they don't have an offense that fits the offensive line, and that's something we've talked about. They really should be running the ball more and maybe throwing a little bit less. But you got to go where your bread's been buttered all these years. I really think this is going to be a high-scoring, electric game because Dallas, for as great as Trevon Diggs has been in terms of making plays, he also gives up plays, and Dallas is a little bit soft at the other corner. So I'm really interested to see to see how they how these two teams attack each other, I think is going to be fascinating.
Well, and the other side of the ball is Kansas City, because of who they play at corner. Over the last 3 weeks, Steve Spagnuolo has made some fundamental changes in his coverage concepts. Over the last 3 weeks, they are playing a really high percentage relative to the league of cover two. He stepped away from playing as much man coverage as he would like to play because they weren't doing it very well. And they played a lot more cover two. They get to it through disguise and late movement. Matthew is one of the best middle hole defenders in cover two in the league because he's so instinctive and intuitive. So they've been playing a lot more cover two. So we'll see. But this, I think your point's right, Lance. I mean, this could be a high-scoring game.
Let's talk a little bit about Cincinnati and Vegas, two teams that have been struggling. What happened to both these teams early in the season, Greg, were gangbusters, and they've fallen off these last few weeks?
Yeah, you know, Vegas' offense has been a little up and down, and I think we've seen that through the years. And I don't want to say it's all Derek Carr, you know, that would be wrong, but it seems as if there's always a couple of games throughout the season where their offense just does not work very well. And I think they're a team, believe it or not, they need to run the ball, I think, with more volume and more production. You know, I find myself, and again, this may go against what a lot of people think, and we all know you need a great quarterback to get to the mountaintop. We get that. Or we need a quarterback playing at a really high level. We get that. You know, that's I'm not saying that. But I think that we're finding out that the run game matters. And you don't have to run 40 times for 200 yards every week, but you need a run game somewhere along the line that has some volume to it, some viability to it, and it's productive. And I think the Raiders struggle with that on a week-to-week basis, and I think their O-line then struggles in pass protection. I don't think, and then Lance, you could speak to this, I don't think their O-line is equipped to pass protect 40 or 45 snaps a game.
No, not this version of it, no. And I think the Colts are getting back into it because Jonathan Taylor, you know, they got Quentin Nelson back. They're healthy. They're running the football. I mean, that's, you know, it is. I can tell this has been it's something that's been on your mind for a while is the concept of everything has to be quarterback. Here's the truth. We're pretty deep at quarterback in the league relative to where it's been in the past, but it's not as good as everyone likes to act. Like the level of elite, we throw the term around, the media likes to throw the term around elite on talents way too much, like that word doesn't matter. Elite should really matter. It should be, there's like five elite quarterbacks in the league. Lamar Jackson is not elite, for example. You have Aaron Rodgers is elite, but Ben Roethlisberger, not even remotely close. Jared Goff has gone into bad. Like, there's so few quarterbacks. Carson Wentz, you can't count on Carson Wentz to carry an offense. That's just not who he is. I think there's very few quarterbacks that you can actually count on to carry an offense all the way to a Super Bowl caliber.
I agree,
run, Greg. I think that's the reality.
And it's funny you say that because I think Buffalo has and I love Josh Allen. I think as pure physical gifts, I believe he's the most gifted quarterback in the league. But every week you can't say to your quarterback, with very few exceptions, and I mean very few exceptions, Lance, I'm playing off what you just said, you can't say to your quarterback every week, you have to be great or we have no chance to win. But the other side of that, which you know even better than I do, is that's too hard on an offensive line. You cannot ask, with the quality of defensive athletes that are out there now, an offensive line to pass protect 40 to 50 times a game against the quality of defensive athletes that teams bring to the table. That's just too hard.
Well, you pin your ears back. I mean, it's no different than if you're sitting on fastball all the time. You can't just throw fastballs all the time or somebody's eventually going to hit you. They're going to start hitting you out of the park because they know what's coming. You have to be unpredictable at times, or you have to at least keep teams on their toes. And I think that's the pass set concept is when pass protection, it is a defensive movement, pass protection. So when an offensive tackle is dropping back, it's defensive. When they're running, you know, they're in control. They're firing out, and they're a lot more confident.
Let me ask you guys this. Do either of you think Kyler Murray is one of those guys that you put the team on his back week in and week out?
I don't, but I'm not sure Josh Allen is either. Because I've seen two that I can't get the Jacksonville game out of my head watching Josh Allen. I was like, this is bad, and Josh is part of the bad here. I'm not sure Kyler Murray's that guy either. I think he's on the verge of it.
What do you think, Greg?
Well, I think there's. I think Josh Allen can do it in any given week, and then we start to think that you can do it every week. You know, even the great ones. Look, we don't need to run down the list of the guys who were truly transcendent. It's a small list, but even those guys, I would still argue that it's still hard to play by saying that you're going to throw it 40, 45 times every week, and that's the way we're going to play because you're great. I just think that's a hard way to play in this league. You know, we've seen the evolution over time of defense, and the defense now plays with better athletes. I still think that the biggest mismatch in the NFL is defensive line versus offensive line. There are so many more better athletes on the defensive line than O-line. And O-line guys have gotten better over the years, no question about it. But you're still dealing, you know, there's still bigger guys who do not move as well as a lot of the guys they're blocking. So I just think that's a hard way to go and a hard way to play. You know, and as Lance said, offensive linemen want to be proactive, not reactive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They want to fire out. They want to hit people as opposed to stopping them. Absolutely. That's Greg Cosell joining us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and we just love it. It is awesome to talk football with you again, Greg. We really appreciate you being here.
I love talking with you guys. It's great. Thanks so much.
Okay. All right, Greg Cosell right here, Sports Illustrated, NFL Films, with us every week right here, ESPN 97.5. And 92.5. All right, let's take one here. I'm heading over to Chastain today, as a matter of fact. I got to go over there, and I'm going to go see Patrick and Allie and Tony and Justin and all the peeps, all my peeps over there at Chastain Ford. And why don't you stop on by? Why don't you come on by and see and let them face-to-face do what you need, what you want, exactly what you want. They're not going to sell you a car with anything on it that you don't want. What you want is a customized car. Pick exactly what you want, and you can do that every single time. You can do it there, or you can do it at home at ChastainFord.com. And there's a lot of places, most places, you can't do everything online. They want you in there so they can upsell you, so they can put add-ons on. They don't do that at Chastain Ford. They just never, ever do that. What they want to get you is in the car that you want at the price that you have to have. First thing they'll ask you is what do your payments have to be at? I love them. You're going to love them. I'm in the Chastain family, and I highly recommend everyone should join the Chastain family. If you're looking for that Ford car, truck, even used cars, go look at online. They've got everything on the lot as well. You got it at Chastain Ford. ChastainFord.com, or it's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.